Hello, thank you for joining LTC NAC Chat, a podcast brought to you by the American Association of Post-Acute Care Nursing, APACN. I'm your host, Amy Stewart, Chief Nursing Officer for APACN. I'm here today with Jesse McGill, Curriculum Development Specialist for APACN. Jesse joins us to discuss key insights to determine Section GG usual performance. Welcome, Jesse.
Thanks, Amy. It's always a pleasure to join you.
We get a lot of questions about GG, so let's dive right in. Why do you think determining usual performance continues to be a challenge for some of our listeners?
I'm glad you asked this, Amy. I think GG, especially like you said, with the determination of usual performance, is such a challenge because CMS has provided a circular type definition and not a lot of clarification. So when we talk about a circular definition or circular reasoning, we're using the term that we're trying to define in the definition, which is not overly helpful. It's like saying a bird watcher is someone who watches birds, or that software is user-friendly because it's easy to use, which really does not provide a clear explanation. And so when we look directly at the definition of usual performance for the REI, it talks about how a resident's functional status can be impacted by environment and situations encountered at the facility, and how we should observe the resident's interactions in different locations and circumstances for a comprehensive understanding of the resident's function. And if the resident's functional status varies, then we are to provide the resident's usual performance or their usual ability to perform each activity. Not their best, not their worst, but rather their usual. So without CMS defining what usual means, it gives us a definition that says, you know, observe the resident in these different situations, not the best, not the worst, just the usual. So this is a complicated definition. And I think with our NACs, we are very much rule followers. We want to follow the guidance of the REI. We want to do the job correctly. And so when we had the definition like we had before with Section G, with the rule of three, there was always a right or wrong answer. And with Section GG, there's more of a vagueness with this definition that NACs have to become very comfortable and confident with their clinical judgment of what the resident's usual performance is. And that can be uncomfortable for some NACs because it puts them in a situation where there's not necessarily a right or wrong answer, but they have to look at the information, the data collected during that window to determine what their clinical judgment is for that usual performance. And another complicating factor of this is NACs may have been challenged in their determination by medical reviews or Medicare Advantage plans, which may make it more difficult for them to have that confidence that they are making the right determination. I'd also like to add that when we talk about the definition of usual, just in terms of general use of that word, and you do a quick internet search, you'll come across definitions like happens frequently, customary, what is typical, ordinary, or habitual within a given situation. So I think sometimes we try to overcomplicate the word usual. You know, we're trying to say, okay, how many times did it happen? Is it the average? Is it the median or the mean? And there's no mathematical solution to Section GG. It truly is a clinical judgment of what's usual, what's customary, what's typical for the resident during those 3 days. And so one example I would use to try to explain usual is, you know, this is totally not GG related, but if someone were to ask me how many miles I walk per day, I would say I usually walk about 1 mile per day. Now, sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more, and sometimes I skip a session, but overall, I would usually walk 1 mile per day. So I think getting back down and simplifying the term to say, okay, this is what is typical for the resident. If I were to say the resident usually needs this much help for toileting to a new CNA, that might help simplify it in terms of what are we trying to get at for the term usual when it comes to Section GG.
Thank you for that. How can our listeners overcome this challenge and gain confidence with their determination of usual performance?
That again is a great question. And the first thing I would suggest is that the NAC not feel like they need to take this on alone. The REI actually tells us in the steps for assessment for section GG for both self-care and mobility that CMS anticipates an interdisciplinary team of qualified clinicians to be involved in section GG. And so when we're looking at the documentation, whether it is from the direct care staff like the CNAs and floor nurses, or even the evaluation from the therapist, we can create a team of qualified clinicians who are tasked to review the section GG documentation during that 3-day window to determine the usual performance. So this brings the power of multiple clinical judgments, a team decision, a discussion to be able to make that determination of usual performance and develop the rationale as to why you have determined that this is the usual performance for the resident. Having a team approach not only shares that responsibility, but it also allows, again, for that conversation, especially if you have a situation where the documentation could really go either one or two ways with the coding. You may have it split about in the middle. And you can have that discussion with another clinician to develop the best rationale for why you chose the coding for the usual performance on the MDS. So I'll give a couple of examples. A resident who eats independently for all meals within the 3-day window, the documentation clearly supports that this is independent. You really would not need any other type of discussion or further rationale of why you coded the resident as independent when the documentation clearly supports this is how the resident performed during the entire window. However, the resident needed substantial or maximal assist for the first half of the time and partial or moderate assist for the last half. And there's not a clear usual. It's really split kind of half and half. This is where the team really needs to be able to review the documentation and look at it in context of how the resident performed during that window and take into consideration anything that might have occurred that changed that coding. For example, if this is a 5-day assessment and the resident benefited from treatment interventions, then once the resident benefited and required less assistance because of that treatment intervention, we would only use the documentation before that treatment intervention for coding the baseline performance for section GG. However, if this is not a 5-day and we still are in that situation, then we still have to look at the documentation again in the context of how the resident performed during that 3-day window and make a determination. And this is where the NACs may get uncomfortable, and this is where that confidence and experience really comes in, is you'll need to be able to write a rationale that clearly explains how you came to this coding determination. Now, even if a medical reviewer later disagrees with your decision, you have it well documented of how you and your team determined the usual performance and the clinical judgment that you used. And as long as you're using sound clinical judgment, this is really the best you can do to support your section GG coding.
Jesse, you mentioned documentation. Does the determination of usual performance and the documentation to support the decision need to be completed within the 3-day performance window?
This question gets asked so often, Amy, and CMS actually did clarify this, and this was in the SNF QRP participants questions from the MDS 1.18.11 training program. This was a document that was released in fall of 2023. And it's question number 57 that really addresses when the determination documentation needs to be completed. So question number 57 states that the completion of section GG of the MDS, also known as the coding determination, does not need to occur within the 3-day assessment window, but is expected to be based on assessments that were completed within the 3-day assessment window. The interdisciplinary team can then have a meeting to determine the usual performance after that 3 days is over, as long as they are only utilizing data and information from that 3-day assessment window. So when we have that meeting, we have to document that on this date, we reviewed the documentation from these 3 specific days of that 3-day assessment window, and we're using that information to have our determination of usual performance during that window. Now, this means that since your documentation does not need to be completed for the determination during that 3-day window, that you can now have a structured or standard meeting that's scheduled throughout the week. Maybe you're meeting weekly or a couple times a week to review residents who have just ended their 3-day window. And this allows you time to have, again, a standard meeting where staff are aware of what information they need to bring and they are prepared to make the determinations for usual performance. And you have a process that works really well for this purpose.
Thank you for that, Jesse. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners today?
I think the last thing I would like to mention is that even though you do not have to meet and make the determination of usual performance until outside the 3-day window, as the NAC, it's a really good idea to keep an eye on the documentation for residents that are in their 3-day assessment period. And I say that because you may identify outliers that can be corrected within that window by the staff who made the error. So, for example, if you have a resident who typically does not walk or is not able to walk, and you have documentation that they were walking, then we can talk to that staff member and see if that documentation was accurate or an error and have them correct that documentation as long as it's within your facility's policy of correction of that documentation. And that can help so that you have the most accurate information documented in that 3-day window, and that if there's any outliers, you followed up with it and you understand if it was an error or perhaps the resident fell that morning and they were needing more assistance after the fall and having some pain, so needed more assistance for tasks that they normally were completing at a much more independent level. And so you're aware of the things that happened during that window, and that can really help you to make an accurate determination of not only the accuracy of the documentation within the window, but also when you go to that meeting to determine the GG usual performance, that you also have more information to bring to that meeting about what actually occurred during those 3 days.
Thank you, Jesse. I love talking to you about Section GG, and thank you for sharing your expertise with our listeners.
Always my pleasure, Amy.
Listeners, thank you for joining us today. For more resources and tools for nurse assessment coordinators, please visit our website at www.aapacn.org. To ensure that you never miss an episode, subscribe to the LTC NACChat podcast.
Nurses Week is May 6th to 12th this year, and at APACN, we are recognizing the LTPAC professionals who are shining bright. Mark your calendar and plan to celebrate NAC Day on May 7th and Nurse Leader Day on May 8th. Also on May 8th, be sure to join the Education Foundation Zoomathon to help raise money for nursing scholarships. Learn more at apacn.org.